This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
Hallelujah. We want to jump right into a continuation in our observations into the Gospel of St. John. Hallelujah. And we pray that indeed you will continue to partake of the bread of life that the Lord is breaking before us in this segment. We want to move into this segment that we have entitled The Proclamation. Hallelujah. And that will be our scripture text will be John, the first chapter, verses 15 through 34. And our theme, our thesis is the proclamation, i.e. the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hi, hallelujah, the Lamb of God. Father, we bless you today and thank you for this day that you have made. And indeed, we rejoice and are glad in it. And we pray you will continue to bless us as we partake of and feast upon your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will pour your word into your vessel and that, Father, Lord God, it will just overflow into the heart of every soul that will have an ear to hear, that will have, Lord God, a desire to know and to understand the truths of your word, that you will unfold the mysteries of the kingdom of God into their hearing, that you will quicken something in their spirit, man, Lord God, to cause them, Lord God, to search, Lord God, hallelujah, your word, your holy scriptures, and to seek, Lord God, a greater relationship and fellowship with you, Lord God, to hunger and thirst for your righteousness, O Lord. Be glorified this day, we pray, Heavenly Father. Oh, we pray, Lord God, that the church will be edified, that indeed the saints, Lord God, hallelujah, will be exhorted, will be edified and comforted, Lord God, with the truths of your word. Oh, we bless you and thank you now. Oh, teach, Lord God, and minister unto us, we pray. Hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen. Yes, indeed, we want to just dive right into this segment today and look at the John the Baptist. Hallelujah, this great prophet of God, who in verse 15, the scripture reads, John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Hallelujah. John knew at the outset of not only his ministry, but his whole being, his whole life, what his destiny and purpose was. And you know, that is good news. Amen. That is good that when we come to a point in our life where we understand that which God have set us and have decreed, have ordained, have purpose to perform through us, that we may yield ourselves, submit ourselves before him, and that he will perform his perfect work within us. For he that indeed will begin a good work within us shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we thank God for that. And John, in that context, in that sense, is a type, a testimony, a witness unto us in his very life, and how that his witness of Jesus Christ in his life, amen, preparing the way for him, hallelujah, was a type, a template for us, and that Christ said in the book of Acts, the first chapter there, that we too shall be witnesses unto him. Hallelujah. Amen. And our conduct and our character and our going out and our conversation and our coming in, we ought to be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our Lord, the Messiah. Amen. So John comes on the the scene to give witness, hallelujah, unto Jesus Christ. And these next few verses here indeed bear witness unto John's witness, if you will, unto Jesus Christ. John bore witness of him. He brought forth manifest witness of Jesus Christ, and he cried out, hallelujah. He cried, he declared, he proclaimed, he preached, hallelujah, the witness of Jesus Christ, saying in the beginning, in the very outset of the witness of God, he is preferred before me. Amen. Now, I understand the scripture that, you know, we talk about a lot about where John said, I must decrease, but he must increase. John didn't just come to that realization somewhere along the line that sooner or later he was going to have to bow down and bow out before our Lord. John understood in the beginning of his work, of his ministry, of whom his sermons was, of whom his testimony was, of whom his witness was, of whom his preaching was, he knew that he was preferred before him. So John had no problem with that. John had humbled himself before the mighty hand of God, humbled himself before the Lord, had yielded, hallelujah, his very life, his very being before God at the outset, and told and bear record, hallelujah, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen. Verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Amen. John, in the outset here, verse 16 and 17 of our text, sets before us, and sure, we recognize and we appreciate that the Apostle Paul expounded upon this great principle, amen, of the kingdom of God and of Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul was used mightily by the Holy Spirit to expound and to explain, hallelujah, this principle, this mystery concerning this matter of law and grace. Hallelujah. And it is in Paul that the Holy Spirit uses to bring unto us the explanation concerning the kingdom of God and the things of God and the mysteries of God that, as Paul said, were hidden through the ages but are now being revealed. Why? For the obedience unto faith. Obedience of faith unto God, that we may obey God by faith. Amen. To do that which is right according to his sight. And so, but it is here that we find that, listen, John the Baptist was doctrinally sound. John the Baptist understood exactly and began to expound, to drop these mysteries and to lay the seed of these great mysteries of the kingdom of God right before us here in the Gospel of John, as we laid out beforehand that the Gospel of John, the theme of John, was the deity, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ, the second in the Godhead. Amen. For all you theological hair splitters out there, we'll just refrain from using the word Trinity, and we'll just call it what the Bible speaks specifically here. Amen. The Godhead. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ being the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians. Amen. Where the Apostle Paul again explains unto us, hallelujah, concerning this matter of the Godhead, or as the Latin text describes it, amen, in amongst Catholicism and in the book of the Latin, amen, printing of the Bible, the Trinity. Yes. Come on, somebody. And of his fullness, amen, have all we received grace for grace. Amen. The Lord said, I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy, and be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Amen. Somebody said the other day that mercy was God not imputing upon us what we deserved. Amen. And but that grace was God imputing upon us or giving unto us that which we didn't deserve. Come on. And that was good. I like that. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah. So law was given by Moses. Law had his purpose. And Paul expounds upon that greatly. And man, and that is greatly expounded in the book of Romans. Amen. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. And so John here distinguishes this matter of law and grace and set this foundation from that it is by grace and truth that Jesus was manifested in Christ. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse 18, and no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, capital S, who is in the bosom of the Father, and he hath declared him. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is truth incarnate. Jesus Christ is truth in the flesh. When the Pontius Pilate, when the Lord our God stood before Pontius Pilate, and when he went before him to be so-called judged of him, amen. And you recall the scripture where Pilate asked that question, what is truth? Well, what Pilate didn't realize is that that truth incarnate was standing before him. He was looking upon truth. Amen. Truth in the flesh. Truth incarnate. Truth in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is all truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. And when you know him, when you are intimate with him and have developed a relationship and a fellowship with him and are born again into his image and likeness and are walking in the newness of life, that is that abundant life, that newness of life that is manifest in him and are created again. Hallelujah. Born again in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When you know that, when you understand that, when you become intimate with him in a real personal way, become that truth. Hallelujah. Is where liberty comes. It is that truth where freedom comes. It is that truth, hallelujah, that indeed sets you free from the bondage of the flesh and the world and the devil. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. And you can walk indeed in the liberty, hallelujah, that is in Christ Jesus when you walk, amen, in that understanding and that knowing, amen, him in that real and personal way. Amen. And so John says, testifies and witnesses that no man has seen God at any time. As close as Moses was with God, and that was a friend of God, amen, even he did not see, amen, the face of God. You remember God said to Moses, you cannot see my face and live, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll set you, amen, when I pass by, I will set you in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. And when I pass by, you will see, hallelujah, my train, you will see my back. Amen. And I declare unto you, I submit unto you, is that is when God passed by, hallelujah, passed by Moses, and the hand of God, amen, was placed before Moses as God stepped by, and God saw the back, and Moses saw the back of God, that it was at that point, and at that time, and Moses walked with God, a relationship with God, that Moses literally saw the beginning. Hallelujah. He saw Genesis. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. He saw, amen, in the beginning that indeed there was God. Come on. Hallelujah. And Moses, by that inspiration and by literally seeing, hallelujah, God in the beginning of creation, amen, began to expound, hallelujah, and to declare before us, oh, bless you, Jesus, hallelujah, this great writing and understanding in the book of Jesus, and hallelujah, began to declare unto us and set before us the book of Genesis, the beginnings, hallelujah, praise God. God is so good, and when you enter into, and I enter into relationship with God and walk with God, amen, and to know him in this intimate and personal way, he too will begin to reveal unto us and began to declare declare unto us the mysteries concerning who he is and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so our Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And all these things, amen, he will add unto you. Our relationship with God and our walk with God, our fellowship with God is of utmost importance, more important than life itself, and is our walk with God and our relationship with God. No man has seen God at any time except the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. Look at the language there. Who is in the bosom of the Father. God, hallelujah, loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. Hallelujah. More than words can describe. We have come nowhere near in describing. Love is something that really defies description. It is something that we must know. Hallelujah. We must feel. Hallelujah. We must behold. Hallelujah. As the language of this scripture is so beautiful, in the bosom, hallelujah, of our Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And from that is where the witness comes, the true witness comes. From that is where the declaration comes, hallelujah, concerning God. You see, you can't really witness for God. Hallelujah. You can't really be a true, effective witness from God until you know the love of God. Hallelujah. Until you have the love of God in your heart. If you don't have the love, a person without the love of God in their heart that tries to witness, hallelujah, and evangelize from God, it only does more damage, hallelujah, only serves to drive people more away from God. It takes the love of God in our heart, that love, that compassion, hallelujah, that our Lord demonstrated over and over and over again in his earthly walk, hallelujah, when he would look upon the multitudes and out of his compassion, hallelujah, would heal them and would perform the great things that he did. He did it out of compassion. Amen. He did it out of compassion, out of his love, out of his heart toward God and the things that God have created, the souls that God have created. You know, when we start looking at individuals and looking at people as souls, hallelujah, that God have created, that are created and made in the image and likeness of Christ, that God indeed desires that none should perish, and that the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God that God has bestowed in this world, in this age which we live, is really beyond description. Amen. God's grace, y'all, is beyond measure. It is infathomable. It is immeasurable, the grace of God. Oh, God is so good unto us. Amen. And the Bible says in our text that this is the record. Come on, of John. Yeah, hallelujah. This is the record of John. And you know, this is what the world does. These next few verses on through here, from 19 through 28, sets before us the conflict between religion, if you will, and the world, if you will, the world system of belief and operation. Amen. Not the world that God created and made and said it is good, but rather the world in context of its system of operation, its system of belief, man's pleasure. Amen. Man's desire to control and to obtain things unto them and to draw unto them attention and recognition and position and prominence, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things is what the context of the world that God said you can't befriend of, you can't befriend with, that Jesus said will hate you as it hated me. That we in one segment we talked about knowing your enemy, amen, the world, the flesh, and the devil. These guys, these men, were sent. Listen what the text says. The Jews sent priests and Levites from the seat, amen, of Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, to ask him, who art thou? And you know, folk, when you begin walking and and living for God, and began declaring God in your life, and you're going out and you're coming in your conduct and your character, and if need be, amen, your conversation. Hallelujah. Come on, so you'll get that in a minute. Amen. Somebody somewhere is going to ask you, what is you? Somebody came up to me the other day when I was at a funeral of a dear friend of ours. Hallelujah. And so great a man of God that the place of with which he ministered was just overcrowded, and your servant couldn't even get inside. Amen. Pastor Lonzel Payton, bless his heart, great man of God. Hallelujah. As I was standing outside, amen, having had to break away and take some dear mothers, amen, to the door, amen, that they wouldn't, because they couldn't bear to walk, amen, and in the process lost my place there of getting inside. But nevertheless, as I stood outside, this guy came to me, who obviously had this reputation of being crazy. And you know, you met folk who had this reputation of saying and doing and being quote unquote, oh, he's so crazy type guy. Come up, ease up to me and ask me, what is you? You know, and I looked at him and I said, I'm born again. Amen. What is you? You know, and so man always wants to know, what is you? Amen. Who art thou? Amen. What are you about? Because man in his created and made attribute, which is good, but because of our sin nature, we tend to pervert and twist, amen, out of order, has an innate desire and ability to name, amen, the attribute that God have given man. You remember how Adam, God told Adam to name the creature. So we seemed in our fleshly carnal being, in that of the first Adam, that we tend to always want to categorize or want to name and want to put into a pocket. Amen. We seem to not be comfortable when we can't put folks in a box, when we can't put a label or a tag on them. Amen. And so the Jews were desirous to put a tag and a label on John, and they wanted to know, who art thou? Amen. Who is you? Yeah. Where you come from? What are you about? What label or tag shall we put on you? And so, as we'll find out in a minute here, that it was actually the Pharisees that put the priests and the Levites up to this. And you know, can I say that I have a bone to pick. I have an issue with the priests and the Levites. It is the priests and the Levites, amen, whom Moses took and taught, whom God took the literal spirit and the heart and wisdom of Moses and took off of him and literally set upon these priests and Levites, and Moses taught them personally and distinctly the things and the oracles of God. And it is these same priests and Levites who through the history of Israel always was silent when they should have spoken up. They always, when they should have been teaching the children of Israel and reminding, rehearsing the precepts and principles and statutes of God before the people of Israel, they seem to be the very ones who were thrown off, who were found themselves in the flesh and in carnality, and like Aaron built made that calf, that image, amen, of that calf before the children of Israel, very early in the beginning, it seemed that spirit just somehow rooted itself in with the priests and Levites. And when I give you a case in point, Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, there, God prophesied through Moses concerning kings. And he said, when the day comes and you do set yourself kings, be sure that you do this, 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 and this. None of the priests, from Samuel to any of them, never took and referred that scripture unto Saul and to David and even to Solomon. And Solomon was especially the ones who should have heard it, because it was him that got really snared up in the very things that God prophesied through Moses for that the king should not do. And so But they kept their silence. They kept their silence. It was only a few times in revival with Ezra and with others that the teaching Levites and the priests went and taught the people as they ought to have. And you know, that is a lesson that we must learn, preachers, is that as husbands in our homes, as the priests of our home, we must declare the word of God. We must learn the truths of the word of God and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And we must keep them before the people. And we must speak the truth in love, and we must declare, hallelujah, the truths of God and the principle of God. We must rightly divide the word of truth, and we must study to show ourselves approved. Hallelujah. Amen. But these boys will allow themselves to be sent, allow themselves to be put up, used by the Pharisees, who didn't have the courage, who thought they were too uppity and too proud and too righteous to go before John himself. They sent these priests and these Levites from Jerusalem and to ask John. And so John confessed, verse 20, and denied not, but confessed, I told you before, I'll tell you again, I am not the Christ. I am not the anointed of the anointed of God. I am not he that is consecrated and dedicated and sent, amen, for this cause and this purpose that God had prophesied and have declared through the ages. I am not Messiah. I am not the Christ. Hallelujah. And so they asked him, well then, what then? Are you Elijah? Yeah. And Matthew, the 17th chapter, verse 10 really paints a good picture for us in this testimony here, this matter here, this witness here, this incident, if you will, concerning the conversation, the dialogue that went on with John these priests here. And as a matter of fact, what John 17 and 10 talks about Elijah, this matter of Elijah, and Israel, and looked for Elijah to come because it was prophesied. And so if you recall in John 17, 10, we'll build for you a good understanding, a good observation concerning this matter of Elijah, because you remember it was Elijah and Moses that appeared with Jesus in the transfiguration there. Amen. And so they asked, the disciples asked him in verse 10, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must come first? And so, and Jesus answered and said, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they desired or listed or desired. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spoke unto them of John the Baptist, because John the Baptist indeed came with the prophecy in the spirit and in the likeness of Elijah to set things in order, to set things straight. John, in the same spirit of Elijah, came to set the crooked places straight and to prepare the way of the Lord. So in that type and in that spirit, indeed came John the Baptist. Hallelujah. But John said of himself, he said, no, I'm not that neither. I'm not Elijah in that personally, literally, I'm not Elijah. He said, well, then, are you that prophet? And he said, no. Well, they knew from Deuteronomy and from the study of the Deuteronomy, the reference there is Deuteronomy 18 and 15, when Moses declared that the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, capital P, from the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me. This is Moses speaking. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord thy God, neither let me let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet, capital P, from among their brethren like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now, who do you think that the capital P prophet is that the Lord is declaring unto Moses? I submit unto you that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who every word that he spoke is life. Indeed, every word that he speaks is truth. Amen. And so, indeed, John answered rightly. He said, no, I'm not the one. Amen. Then said they unto him, well, then who art thou? Amen. John, in our text, verse 22, John 1, 22, that we may give an answer to them that sent us. Why sayest, what sayest thou of thyself? Amen. And you know, sometimes, amen, the Bible says, answer, you know, that Paul expounded unto us in Timothy, that we should not even answer foolish questions about genealogy and about all of that stuff, because it only serves to bring more division and more confusion. And so John, you know, John was dealing with him. John was going through with him, and John said, declare. John went back and prophesied to him again, fulfilling the word of the Lord. In verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He went straight back, and he took him back to scripture. Amen. That's why we need to know the word of God. Look at how the word of God is being fulfilled at this very hour. Amen. The word of God, the prophecies concerning Christ, Messiah, amen, the Christ, it being fulfilled through John the Baptist, in John the Baptist, and those things that were prophesied concerning him, John had good knowledge and good understanding of. Amen. John, obviously, amen, was a Bible student. For indeed, Isaiah 40 and 3 said, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Come on, somebody. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. The glory of the Lord, amen, have been revealed in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the glory of the Lord. The Hebrew writer put it something like this. The Hebrew writer says unto us that of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, being, verse Hebrew 1 and 3, being the brightness of his glory, come on, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had it by himself, purge our sins, sat down, come on somebody, on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I you know, I know folk wanna don't like it, a lot of folk, but when you use scripture to explain scripture, but guess what? Amen. There's no other authority greater than scripture. I told you before that in Hebrews 6 chapter, the Lord looked around, amen, for a witness, amen, that could stand, that could bear witness, amen, of the covenant they had made with Abraham. God looked around and saw that there was none greater than himself. And so by his own name, hallelujah, come on somebody, did he bear witness, amen. And so indeed, God have exalted his word even above his own name, amen. So in the name of Jesus, the word of God, amen, we have the promises of God made sure, and the testimony of the Holy Scriptures being the word of God, bear witness unto scripture. If we will search scripture, scripture will explain scripture. And not only will it explain, in the process, it will bear record and bear witness of the truths concerning the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Amen. It is not old wives' tales that are going to do it. It is not old fables and babbles that are going to do it. Amen. Matter of fact, we are warned not to even give heed unto old fables and old wives' tales, but we should study to show ourselves approved. Amen. Now, I understand that there has to be balance there, that it is, sometimes it can be distracting to just read continually scripture, but nevertheless, it is important that we give point of reference, and then sometimes, as the Holy Spirit will, to go to and to expound and to extract from other testimony in the Word of God that which the Lord may have to say unto us. And so that is what your servant tries to do, is to try to extract for and try to reference unto you, bearing witness and testimony, the Word of God giving witness unto itself. And I try not to just continue to read, but you can read it for yourself. But I will reference these texts. And as we talked about Matthew 17, verses 1 through 10 there and on, and then Deuteronomy 18 and 15, Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, and then on. And so back to our text. And so they were sent, verse 24, were the Pharisees. There you go. See, scripture bears record. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will drop us a sidebar if we'll pay attention and to explain unto us the situation. He may jump to the future that we will bring us to understanding, bring us to remember. And here's a testimony. They who were sent, these priests and Levites that we were talking about, were sent by the Pharisees, who didn't have a good will or good intentions. They had bad intentions toward John the Baptist anyway. Amen. So, and they were too high and mighty and too uppity, too proud, too righteous in their own righteousness, their self-righteousness, to go before them himself. So they sent these fellas who went along with that. Amen. They were used by him for this this matter of religion. Amen. And in verse 25, they asked him some more. They continually inquiring. They continually trying to pick his brain. Why then do you baptize then if thou be not that Christ? Ha ha. That prophet. Come on, somebody. Nor Elijah, neither that prophet. Amen. If thou be not Jesus, nor Elijah, nor that prophet. Amen. And so John asked them, saying, I baptize with water, but there one standeth among you whom you know not. Amen. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me. And these things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so it is Luke. I just want to as a point of reference, say unto you, you might want to put a pen there and reference Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 20. And it is there that we find this powerful principle and truth from John the Baptist in verse 16, where John says, John answers, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh. Come on, somebody. The latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to loose. Amen. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. With the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. And that fire, I submit to you, is the cleansing, purging of the dross of our life. It is the fire, amen, of the holiness, literal holiness of God, that God is a consuming fire, and all that is not holy will not be able to stand before God. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, amen, purges us and cleanses us, amen, and reproves and corrects and prunes, amen, and cleanses us with the fire, baptism of fire, amen. And through tribulation sometimes do that worketh patience, amen, and patience that worketh experience, and experience that worketh that hope within us, amen, that causes us to run and not get weary, and to walk and not faint, that allows us to be found vessels of honor, amen, unto God, amen, to stand before God, to be before God, to be used by God. The Holy Spirit, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, is one that comes and cleanses us, sanctifies us, amen, and makes us indeed holy, amen, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, indeed, according to our text that we're going to get to, John 14th chapter, will come and take up their abode within us. Amen. Ah, hallelujah. And it is the Lord, hallelujah, God, who comes and baptizes us with that fire of holiness. Amen. Baptizes us, amen, with the Holy Ghost, amen, who sanctifies us and cleanses us and makes us vessels of holiness unto God, of which no man shall see God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then, hallelujah, verse, back to our text, verse 29 through 34, John, hallelujah, in the proclamation says unto us, behold, the next day, John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, knew immediately, oh, come on, somebody, who he was, and stopped dead in his tracks and say, behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. This is he. Now John said, look, this is he of whom I've been talking about. This is the one of whom I've been talking about. Oh, and that ought to be our witness and our testimony and say, this is the one of whom we've been living for and talking about. This is the one of whom, hallelujah, is our Lord and our God. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Ah, hallelujah. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Ah, John, ah, John, powerful witness and testimony to the Lord. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. John said, now you know why I come. Now you know, hey man, why I was baptizing you for repentance, for the remission of your sin, that you may stand before the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. And John bore witness. John bore record, saying, I saw the Spirit, amen, descending from above like a dove, and it abode upon him. John said, I saw these things with my very eyes. I bear record, amen, of these very of this very thing, and I knew him not. But he that sent me, come on, somebody, to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit, capital S, descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. And I saw and bore record, bore witness, that this is the Son of God. Ah, this is the proclamation, amen, of John the Baptist, hallelujah, the witness and record of John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Ah, we bless you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment in you. Lord God, we bless and praise you. Hallelujah. We thank and praise your holy name. Oh, we pray that this segment will be found a blessing unto you. We pray indeed that you will continue to go with us as we continue to look unto the Word of God, as we seek and search the Scriptures, amen, and ask that the Lord will continue to minister unto us in the Word of God. The next segment, we're going to move into the manifestation, that is the public ministry of Jesus, and we will take up at chapter 1, verse 34. 5, and this is going to move us all the way through the 12th chapter at verse 50. And so this segment is going to may take a couple of more, 2, 3, 4 segments, but we're going to look at this, what we have entitled the manifestation, amen, that is the public ministry of Jesus Christ, amen, the Son of the living God, amen. Father, we bless you today and thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word that is true, Lord God, that is true. We pray, Lord God, indeed, that you indeed will take this word and cast it to the four corners of the earth, Lord God, that you will embed it into the internet, Lord God, that it will take root, Lord God, in all that you have purposed it to do, Lord God, that you be glorified in it, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Listen, we like to hear from you.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God. through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you.